All right. Welcome to another edition of Shabbat Lounge. This is Matt.
And Jake.
Well, and we just kind of wanted to start off and remind you that there are multiple ways to find us. This first one is Sabbath Lounge in Spotify. So check us out in Spotify. There's also a website, if I can click over to the tab. And so that's the Sabbath Lounge website. So I actually own SabbathLounge.com, and I started off with it's Yehushua.com. It's both the same thing. And so you'll find links to all the different things we have here, as well as some articles from, different things. Most of the time it's things that I've written. Jake has done, Hebrew Hammer is in here. And you can go back and look. There's a search bar. You can go look at previous posts and things. And I'm sure Jake will eventually write some things that go in here. But that's that. There's a Twitter page. And so if you are a Twitter person, I have 758 tweets in Sabbath Lounge. And I'd like more followers. Please follow Sabbath Lounge there, and we have Can We Be Honest and just other things there. And then we also have a Facebook page, Sabbath Lounge, so we'd appreciate you liking us here and sharing that with somebody you know. That would be fantastic. So I wanted to start off kind of just, we're talking about current events today, Jake, and you said, tell me what you remember about this. This is The Chosen. And so I'm going to turn the volume down and play a second of that. So what did you learn about The Chosen?
So, my wife ran across this a while back when it was still in the, they just had their pilot out, and it's the birth story of Yeshua. And it was really well done. We watched it. You know, it's hard to find things that you can watch with the kids that is accurate to the Bible. And that was one of the things.
Without having to go back and explain everything. Now, wait a minute. That didn't really happen like that.
Right. Because everything you have is like that. It's skewed and twisted and just not accurate. But the way they did the story was, and, you know, we pulled up our Bibles and followed along with it. Very accurate, very close to the actual story. I mean, sure, some liberties, but I mean, sure. they're making a show.
Well, and there's so many things we don't know about Yeshua. I mean, there's just volumes, and then the Bible itself says that, you know, there's not enough books that could contain the things he did. So, I mean, there's just so many things we just don't know what he did.
Right.
And this kind of filled in the gaps.
Yep. And it's and not in a way where it's like skewing orthodoxy or any, you know, or doctrine or anything like that. But definitely, you know, well done. You could tell they did it with a purpose and spent their time with it to make it right.
Mm-hmm.
Real good. And then after that, we noticed that, you know, they got seasons out, and we tried to find some of those that we could, and we found maybe the first couple episodes of the first season out, it's just really well done.
Yeah. Well, and now, you know, they have eight episodes completed, and I highly recommend you can download this app, and then this app will work on any media player that you have. In our house, we use the Roku player or Roku. So, potato, potato. So, it'll go right to that, I think it's a unique app because it seems to go with anything, any streaming, any way you stream, it can talk to it. So, and then you watch it for free, and then they ask you to pay it forward eventually, and for like $15, you can contribute, and you're helping to fund. They want to make as many as 8 seasons. I think they've already started funding season number 4. So they've had tremendous success. I think the view count last I looked at was like 26 million people have watched this.
Wow.
Which is, it's pretty amazing. The whole concept, I like how they're funding it. And the other, you know, fun fact about it is they did shoot it here in North Texas, which is kind of fun, just not far from us here. And they used Lake Benbrook and a little place out at Peaster or Poolville and Weatherford area. So, but if you have not watched it, we can't recommend it enough. So it's just fantastic. And you should tell everybody you know, and you should watch it for free, and then you should help fund it. I mean, why not help people tell this story? I can't think of a better story to tell, and especially in times of all this, you know, I think it's a, you know,
yeah, especially
timely.
Especially we have a tendency to rag on the movie industry and say, why don't they make more accurate, you know, family friendly and mm-hmm. Bible-related stories, and then they come out and they're always real preachy and terrible and not entertaining. But, you know, so when something like that comes along, you know, you got to support it.
Yeah.
And that's how more of that kind of thing will be made.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, and there's the pay it forward thing. You know, they've funded season 1, 2, 3 and partial into 4, and there's how much they've raised. And so, you know, they have different levels you can pay it forward. So if you're poor like me, the $15 option was pretty good. You know, if, you know, there's even a $100,000 option in there. So I'm sure there's a lot of our listeners that probably be interested in that $100,000 option. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're bound to have a bunch of those. So, but as we continue to talk about current events, so Jake, this week, I'm out and about, my social distancing. What is this thing called? Is it social distancing? What is
social distancing?
Well, this, what do I call it? Chronication. What else do you call it?
That's about the extent of my calling it.
Mm-hmm. Chronication.
Sure.
So, or medical martial law,
yeah.
Whatever you want to say here.
Hide in place.
Hide in place, shelter in place.
Shelter in place, right.
So, and it's bug in. It's affected you quite a bit because you don't go to work every day. You work at your home.
Yeah. My commute has dwindled to about 3 minutes. If I'm shuffling my, well, got to take care of the chickens, and then by then I can get out over to work.
Do you dress, or do you like wear your underwear and slippers
it
while you're working?
It depends on the night before.
Oh, okay.
If I had a long night the night before, then, you know, I snooze only a few times, and then, oh, I have a meeting coming up. I better run over to the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, whatever, you know.
And do you mute your camera? Or do you?
I do the sticky note over the the camera. Mm-hmm. Although I've been trying this new look. I've gone back to my JNCO pants and my flannel shirts and a 2-ear flapper cap, camo style. And it's, you know, it's a good look. It goes well with the beard.
I bet.
And I've been toying with the idea of I should peel that. Sticky note off my webcam mm-hmm. during one of my meetings and just kind of see how that goes.
But, you should. Yeah. You find out who your real friends are.
Well, see if I'm employed the next day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They can't tell me what to do. No.
Can they? Well, as I've gone out and talked to people, and I'm in the outdoor world and landscaping, and people still want to design spaces and change up things around their house, and so they still call me out to come help figure out things like that. And this week I had some interesting conversations. One of them was with a chiropractor, and he had called me out to look at a few things, and he was having a discussion with me about COVID. And he was just like, Matt, it's not what they tell you. And, you know, and this guy, you know, most of our clients aren't into conspiracies. But he was like, yeah, he said, I work in the hospital district and the hospitals are empty. There's no one at the hospital. The parking lot's empty. They're laying nurses off and there's empty hospital beds and there's just nothing going on there. And
yeah, for every picture of a completely overflowing hospital, there's 10,000 empty ones.
Yeah. I mean, he said that there were some cities that he had heard of, you know, of course everyone says, you know, that I've heard this,
right.
But, in another city that were, you know, possibly going bankrupt because the hospital can't pay their bills because everything's shut down. All the surgeries shut down, you know, all those things were making it work, paying the bills. Yeah. And now they're just shutting the door because they can't fund anything. So I thought that was interesting. And then, the same guy, well, I had talked to another guy, and he said his somebody in his family was a respiratory therapist in another town. And same thing, that, you know, he's like, if this thing is so terrible and people can't breathe, you would think that respiratory therapists would be very busy and yeah. high demand. He's like, she's at home and there's no work. In fact, they told her, maybe a couple months she's going to have off here because there's nothing to do. There's no patients. There's no work. And he's like, that didn't add up. He's like, something is not right. And then this guy is a guy that also takes all his flu shots and takes the vaccine. And he's saying that. So it's kind of interesting. And so I'm going to take a sidebar here for a minute that, you know, we would encourage you to pray with us that the eyes of America will be opened, and that through these things, more and more people will open their eyes to how they've been deceived. Because, you know, I think there's a great opportunity for people to start waking up to that. There's a lot of deception out there.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of sheep and goat separating.
Yes. And that brings up that is an excellent point. Sheep and goat, because, you know, a lot of people are fearful about this, and I look at this, I'm like, that's a good thing. It's a refining. It's opportunity for you to figure out what you really believe and where you are on some issues. And it is going to separate some people quick. Right. I mean, it's already doing it.
Yep.
So, and the other thing, one of these guys also talked to me about this study here. And so I went and looked it up. And so this is the NCBI, which is the U.S. National Library of Medicine. Actually, I don't know how those acronyms work, but National Institutes of Health. I put these two things together, I guess, and somehow get NCBI. So, but anyway, it seems like a legitimate source. I found other things and I've quoted it before. But this is an article published. When did you say it was published, Jake?
2009.
And so the gist of it, I won't bore you with the whole thing because it's like really long. Like real long. You can, I mean, it's.
If you're into it, you can read it.
That's right. You got eyes. You can read
it. We're not going to tell you what to think.
Yes. And so, but, you know, the gist of it, he was telling me that during the Spanish flu, not the Spanish fly, that's a way different thing. So. Actually, I don't even know what that is. Isn't that the Beastie Boys? I think that's the Beastie Boys song.
I don't know. You're on your own there.
Yeah, it's a Beastie Boys song from Licensed to Ill. So, not that I say you should listen to them, but I have. So, anyway, the Spanish flu was back a long time ago in the early 1900s. And what they did is they filled up all the hospitals. And when the hospitals filled up, they put them in tent cities. And then what they started noticing is these doctors and nurses were coming in and they're like, hey, all these guys in the tent city, they're recovered. They're healthy. They're home. Well, they're not here. And the people in the hospital, they've been here the whole time. And we've had people coming in and out of these tent cities and got better, went home, and we still have the same people that continue to be sick in the hospital and they're not getting any better. So they came to the conclusion that there's a direct correlation between sunlight exposure and air. So, Jake, have you ever heard of such a thing?
I've heard of sunshine, yes. Sunshine. I've also heard of air,
yes,
coincidentally. Yeah. But, no, yeah, I've heard in – and they'll even tell you on the newspapers that the sunlight actually is helpful in this case. I mean, I don't know a lot of things where some sunlight and fresh air doesn't help you. Mm-hmm. But in this case, right, I think they even harassed Trump about saying, well, you know, after a minute, it's this virus is gone in this, you know, when it's affected by sunlight in open air situations. And yet everything's still shut down.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is and awesome. As we're getting into spring and we're getting more sunshine or it's warming up, especially here in North Texas. Well, one of the quotes I pulled from this is this guy Boddington had noticed that people who spent their time indoors were susceptible to tuberculosis, whereas patients should copy the lifestyles of those who appeared immune to tuberculosis. They should live in well-ventilated houses, which is kind of interesting, as we talked about, because Jake, especially like your coworkers, how many of them do you think have sheltered in place and have not ventured out much?
I could not venture to guess how many, but I think it's probably up there. It's probably, you know, the national average. Most people are doing that. So when the government tells you shelter in place, you go to your house, you shut the door, and you don't come out because now you're scared.
Yes. Are you scared?
Well, scared people are.
Yes, scared people are. That's a good way to put it. So,
is it?
Yes, scared people are scared. You heard it here first. Breaking news.
Can we be honest?
Yes. So, but, you know, I do think it's very interesting to look at those things and to have those conversations. And, you know, I'm just not afraid of all this. You know, I believe ultimately Yahuwah is in control. And I know I've said it, but I feel like we've got to keep saying it. And we appreciate you listening to us, by the way. But the whole thing of he's taken down the idols. He, you know, he's disrupting people's normal behavior. You know, he took away all the sports. You know, just look at how much sports evaporated. Everything from, we didn't talk about it last time, but Little League. All the, you know, that usually is happening this time of year. And all that is gone. Because I know a guy that has a business of making trophies. And he is, like, hurting bad.
I was just thinking about I drove by the trophy store down here the other day, and I was wondering how that was going. You know, I didn't even realize there was a trophy store there. I drove by and like, hey, I wonder, they're probably being affected by this.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something, some side businesses you don't think much about unless you are in the trophy business. But, you know, the schools needed trophies and they're shut down and all the sports stuff. And, But in concerts, you know, have been shut down and, you know, so much of Hollywood and acting and movie production has been shut down. You know, the list just goes on and on about how Yahuwah is taking down these idols. He's taking down churches. You know, there are going to be churches that don't survive this. I don't see how, you know, there's going to be, I would assume there's going to be a lot of churches that, if they survive it, they're going to look different when they come out of this because they're going to lose some people. Their pastor's going to have less money. He may be downsizing his, you know, $600,000 house because the, you know, there may not be money coming in the way there once was. So there may not be as many butts in the seat because when they reopen, they may only reopen at 25% or something, you know. So which is an interesting topic, too. Because, you know, what is the role of the 501(c) in all this? You know, so these churches are forced to play this game.
Right.
They don't have any other option. It's where they are. They have no other option than to participate in that.
Yeah, they're kind of, once you're taking money out of the, you know, essentially taking money from the government, now you're, they can tell you what to do. I mean, you don't want to be in that position where you're where you have to depend on the government to feed you, and then they tell you what you can eat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then you know the other thing with it, and some of the other thoughts I had definitely go along with, you know, look at even how it's impacting farming. You know, you see these articles where the guys, they're pouring out gallons and gallons of milk, having to kill chickens,
right?
Cows, and there's no market for that. And, you know, and a lot of people are like, oh my goodness, how can they do that? That's terrible. Feed it to the poor people. But
you have to get it there.
Yeah, yeah. Who's paying to truck it? You know, the farmer, he's going to pay, and just because he's a millionaire and he's going to do that. I mean, that's fantastic if he is, but the farmers are pretty much like you and I, you know, they only have so much money and they can't just fund.
There's everything about money with you, Matt. Why can't we just give things away to everybody?
Yes.
No, there's
just
a thing
make it
called,
free.
Right. There's a thing called a supply chain. Mm. When that's disrupted, then essentially the cities, it's a blockade on the cities.
Yeah.
Ooh,
that's a good one. That is a very historical, you know, just like in the Civil War, what did the North do?
They blockaded
the South. And so Texas was the point. This is Texas's role in the Civil War.
Let's hear about it.
So Texas was what enabled the Confederacy to launder money or produce money, you know, however you want to coin it, no pun intended, trademarked, no. But they brought in, they traded cotton, and it kind of came through Texas, and then they blockaded Texas, and so they started bringing it up through Mexico, and it had the long, crazy journey to go from Mexico back around to, like, places in the South where they had mills and things. So that was highly effective. And so, I hadn't even thought about that, but in essence, that's what's happened. It's a giant blockade.
Yep.
And so I think the other thing that's interesting is, you know, look at red states versus blue states. I don't know, Jake, I know I sent you a thing the other day. Did you look at any of that?
It depends. You send me a lot of things.
Do
the other day, I got a message that said, Matt has given you leprosy, or some such.
Oh, what I was talking about the other day was red states versus blue states. And so if you look at, of course, this is the Wikipedia. And then how does that correspond with COVID?
Well, you got Northeast Coast is usually pretty blue, and New York's getting hammered by the COVID. And you got the California, which is getting pretty hammered by the COVID. You got Seattle, which is where it basically originated. That's the first real outbreak was in Seattle that we noticed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's hard to say there's not a correlation.
It's definitely interesting. I think it's something worth talking about and examining. And, you know, there is such a divide. And it's interesting that we see it in COVID because there's such a difference between rural and urban in the mindset and the people. And, you know, it reflects from politics to just this COVID business, and definitely the sections of town where there's more people. For instance, we live in outside of a very populated county, and Dallas County is one of the more populated counties, and we live outside of Dallas County, and their COVID cases are really high.
Yeah.
And then as you get away from that population center, it drops, and it's not a deal. But in the big cities, it's a huge deal.
Yeah, and Dallas is, it's a blue county.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now you see all the scuttlebutt with people trying to open their stores and getting, you know, government cracking down on them for it.
Yeah. And then there's the COVID, you know.
The heat index. The COVID heat index.
And I don't even know how current those are, but you know, it was just something I was thinking about, you know, driving around one day. Just interesting how the red and blue states kind of play a role in all this, and there's all kinds of theories floating around there, and You know, I've chased some of those rabbits, and it's interesting, but bottom line, I think once I wrap my mind around, hey, this is from Yahuwah. This is his will. Mm-hmm. This is what he wants. It wouldn't happen
if he didn't allow it.
Yeah, and there's a reason. I don't know it. I don't understand it. I don't want the virus. I don't want it to come to my door. But I think you have to make sure you're prepared and you're ready to meet him. Right. If it does, not that it's necessarily going to go that direction, but you should be prepared. And we started talking about evangelism. So how does that relate to evangelism, what I'm saying there?
So because then there's a lot of people that are out there wondering what this all means. Whenever a crisis happens, you got people looking for answers and looking for people with answers. And in this case, we talked about how it's the separation of sheep and goats. You see people out there that are, you know, aware of that there's just not a lot of truth happening from the loudspeakers. And but the people that are seeking it out, right? If you're taking the sheep and goat analogy, right? A sheep is gonna seek out the truth in this case, not the sheeple, but you know. And then the goat's just gonna be happy off trying to kill themselves like goats do, you know.
Do they? Are you a goat expert?
I've heard.
You've heard.
I've heard stories about people raising goats, and apparently they just like to cause trouble.
So that's going to be the next podcast we do: goats with a death wish.
Exactly.
I think we'll make a YouTube video of that.
Yeah.
So I apologize to PETA, Finn. Well, no animals will be harmed in the making of this production.
Right.
So, but now on goats and sheep, somebody has told me before that sheep are like your own children that come over, and you love them and like them. And then goats are like the neighbor kid whom you hate that comes over, stays too long, plays, breaks everything, makes everyone cry, and drives you nuts and is loud and obnoxious, and pretty much everything they touch gets destroyed or broken, and your children are left crying. That's more like what the goats are like.
Okay. I can go with that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it is interesting that we have this separation, and we were talking about evangelism, and do you think there's going to be – it's a topic that in Hebrew roots, you know, not that we are crazy about saying we're Hebrew roots, because when you say Hebrew roots, that sometimes,
cast a wide net.
Yeah, because when, you know, I'm not saying, I don't want to be in the camp that says we got to smoke, burn incense in the temple and be talking about smoking marijuana.
Right.
So I'm not interested in burning incense in the temple or having polygamy.
Right.
But there are people that call themselves Hebrew roots that are doing some of those things. And so, you know, anyway,
right.
You understand what
left
I'm saying.
Left the church to get away from denominationalism.
Yes, yes. And they're trying to follow Torah and do Torah kind of ways. But we feel like it's kind of been neglected, this idea of evangelism. So you were talking about maybe even some ways it's impacted you at work and things you've seen.
Yeah, just that just one of the shortfalls that I'm seeing in the community is we do a lot of reaching out to Christians where there's a but we don't do a lot of reaching out to, like I was saying, talking to you before, about to this the unwashed masses.
No, yeah.
And I see that void. I don't know what to do about it. But I think that it's easier because most of us are coming from Christianity, and so there's a continuity there. There's, you know, relatability. I can go to a Christian fellow at work and say, hey, we agree on this Bible. is a good thing we should be following. Now let's discuss what that means, you know, but I mean, that's a much easier conversation at work when you know that you have a good start at the same starting point mm-hmm. than, you know, going to an unwashed, right? Going to someone that you have no similarity on that. It's just, especially maybe, in the woke environment, it's hard to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Well, and I think so many friends, and you probably have run into this too, so many friends and family, people that we know that knew us, especially people that knew me before in my church walk, they just have such a hard time. They don't really want to, once they kind of figure out how crazy this is to what they do, they don't really want to talk to me, talk about it, bring it up. And they're just like kind of, you know, it's like I've been shunned, you know, and that happened so long ago, I don't even hardly remember. Yeah. But that seems to be a pretty common thing in that world. It's just they so can't grasp it. They just kind of be like, I'm done with you, I guess. And whereas people that aren't coming into, you know, conversations with us with religious baggage, they're genuinely curious and interested.
A little more open, it seems.
Yeah, yeah. Like I had someone ask me about the bracelet that has the Shema on it, a little leather bracelet that I wear sometimes. I don't like to wear it when it's hot and sweaty because it gets gross. But a tzitzi and, you know, wearing that, I've had people ask about that. And especially like non-church going people are like, oh, that's cool. And basically like, that's awesome. That means that to you.
Whereas from a church person standpoint, it's always, oh, and then you're one of those.
Yeah. Or you're a weirdo.
Yeah. It's funny. It's a lot more acceptance from someone who has no skin in the game is essentially what it is, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I guess we're saying, what are we saying, Jake?
We're just talking.
That, you know, we're interested. If you have ideas, how do you go about this evangelism in this COVID crisis? Is it a crisis? Maybe. I don't know.
Well, a manufactured crisis is still a crisis.
That's true. But, you know, how do we move forward in be ready for answers? Because I was talking to Jake a minute ago and kind of saying, you know, I believe we're seeing the beginning of the birth pains. And so, you know, Yeshua talked about how they would come on like a woman and be waves, and that the waves would grow stronger in intensity and frequency and closer together, which is kind of interesting because as he talks about that, he's actually talking about science.
Yeah.
And if you've ever studied sound waves or energy waves, that's, you know, frequency and or sound, it's like pitch and volume and frequency, you know, it's in the, you know, but anyway, I just think it's kind of interesting. But anyway, what were you going to say? I thought you looked like you were going to say something, but the, you know, I do think we're seeing the beginning of those, and it's going to be more frequent, and it is easy to look at this and be angry at Yahuwah or be angry at man. You know, I think a lot of people in our community are, you know, probably into the conspiracy a little bit. And maybe I am certainly the first one to raise my hand and say, I am guilty of this, Jake. And that would be chasing too many conspiracy theories because it's juicy. You know, it's fun.
It is fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a, you know, a mental exercise that can be fun because you're like, ooh, maybe there's, you know, something that I'm on the cusp of that maybe someone else doesn't know, or
well,
this could be true, you know, and I haven't heard this anywhere else. So it, you know, tickles the ears perhaps.
And I think when I was new in Torah, I really pursued a lot of that stuff heavy. And the older I get and the more mature, I guess, in Torah, I guess I'm mature-ish going that
more
direction
than
I was. And, you know, I just feel like it can be such a waste of time, and there's so much of Torah, and there's so many connections between Torah in the New Testament and Torah and even Paul, because I'm not in the camp that says Paul is a heretic and you should never ever listen to anything Paul says. You know, I can't go there. I've kind of explored that and looked at it before, but I'm just, that's a whole nother topic for another day. But there are so many things that he understood on a deep level and that Yeshua understood on a deep level. And the more you read Torah, I believe the more those things open up for you.
Yeah.
And the keys get unlocked and you start putting pieces together and you can start to begin to understand what they saw and what they understood. And I think that if we would focus more on that kind of thing than chasing after Q and who is behind right. COVID and Wuhan and how that's a conspiracy to kill us. Well, guess what? Newsflash, Satan wants to kill us all. So how is this new information? There's been a conspiracy since Cain killed Abel. That's where it started.
Yeah.
And since that moment in time, it's been set in place. And the enemy is trying to kill us, destroy us, maim us, cripple us, whatever he can do. He's trying to make God look like a fool and him, you know, smarter. Or I don't even know that I understand all of it, but I do know that this war started a long time ago. And I think if you, you know, we were talking about Michael Oman. Michael Oman has a great spiritual warfare series, and he talked about that in there. I've only listened to the first one. You've listened to the whole thing, but about,
I'm on the third one.
Okay. About how so many people have focused more on the enemy in learning the enemy's playbook than they have Yahuwah.
Right. Yeah. And kind of equating them, like there's some level of equality there when really scripturally, you know, Satan is Yahweh's servant. He does the will of Yahweh also.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to ask for an audience with Yahweh also. There's a lot of things that don't really matter in the scheme of things. And I mean, it's not that it doesn't matter. I mean, everything's got a part of the plan, but how tore up are you going to get about something that you can't have any effect on? Anyway?
You have no control.
No control over it.
Yeah.
And then at least, how about this? At least if you're going to be chasing those rabbits, you know, you have to make the sound argument. You know, you can't just pull something that aligns with the point you want to make and say, well, you know, this guy's a jerk anyway. We all know that.
Mm.
And see, he did this here too. Well, if you give this here too some context, maybe it doesn't line up with this guy's a jerk, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't negate the fact that this guy's a jerk or whatever. Mm-hmm. It just ruins your credibility. Because you're making an argument about something that you haven't vetted, you haven't checked the sources, you haven't checked the context, you know. So, anyway, that it's conspiracy day, apparently.
Yes, it is. Well, and you think about that, too. Of course, you know, it is ridiculous that we get so worked up about some of these people and things they've done. And, you know, the they of the world, you know, are not people of faith or not our faith. And they're not playing on the same team usually. And so, of course it's nefarious. Of course it's to benefit them or someone else and not to benefit us.
And
you know,
that's
a given. You know, it is a scheme. You know, you think about the whole wealth creation and stock market, and you just name the thing after thing. But after saying all that, I do feel like, you know, that's where it comes back to praying that people have their eyes open, you know, and I do pray that people will start to understand to not put their faith in the stock market And I also see a lot of people that put their faith in bullets and put their faith in gold and silver and those kinds of things. And you can go too far there too. I think you should be prudent and be prepared and be wise. But I think you make a mistake if you think that's going to somehow save you and your family, because all you have to do is put it in context. You know, the minute you and your family go against two Black Hawk helicopters, how quick is your house going to be blown to smithereens? I mean,
I would imagine pretty quickly.
Yeah, you can shoot your automatic weapon at it, but when they're shooting Hellfire missiles back at you, it's just, yeah, it's going to be like what we see in these in like Afghanistan villages and things where, you know, there's just no match. But, you know, they, you know, it's just, it's very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, no, all that is not to say don't be informed about what's going
sure.
on. Right. It's clearly important to be informed about what's going on around you, what's going on in the world, and just don't get the wool pulled over your eyes. Because, there's nefarious things happening. Be aware of it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, I really would ask our listeners to join us in a prayer. And we'd also ask if you have any prayer requests, anything that you'd like us to pray about, please let us know. If there's topics you'd like us to talk about. But Jake, it may be appropriate to pray at this point. And so I don't think we've done that with the listeners, but how about it?
Sure.
And we'll kind of close this current event section in prayer. So if you'll pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and we just thank you for health and life and family, and we thank you for a beautiful spring here in the part of the world that we're in, and I hope that other people are experiencing pleasant weather as well. And we ask that the people that listen to this will be benefited from this, and that there'll be some good that comes of it, and we just pray that you work through us despite our faults and imperfections. But we want to really pray for people to have their eyes opened in the world, all across America, all across the world, that you know, we do know that the truth will set us free. And we pray that more people will be set free to the truth, that they won't be blinded by the deception and the misdeeds of mankind. And just pray that you'd help open up their minds to your truth and to your perfect timing. Help them to open their eyes to deception in churches and deception in Christianity and the Christendom world, and help open their eyes to how churches are businesses and 501(c)s and enable all that, and just help people to see the problems that exist there, and help them to open their eyes to your good and perfect will and what your Torah really says and what following your commandments really means, and keeping your Moedim and keeping your Shabbat. And we pray that people will open their eyes to those things. And we pray that things that have been hidden from us will be revealed. And that's everything from spiritual matters to physical matters. Help us to be prepared spiritually to meet you. And we look forward to your return. We do pray that we pray that you come quickly, and we pray for repentance. We want people to come to you before it's too late, because one day it will be too late and every knee will bow. We know this, and we pray that these knees will bow now on their own free will, while they still have a choice before it's too late for them. Help us to be ready and willing with an answer for people that we work with, that we know, and we pray especially for our loved ones and our family members that think we're crazy and think that this is just a bunch of hooey and just think that we're a little off our rocker. And we pray for them that you and in our relationship with them, help us to maintain those relationships. Help us not to burn bridges. Help us not to be Torah terrorists, and help us to be careful what we say, when we say it, how we say it. Help us to say things in love, and help us to live like Yeshua did, and talk to people and learn His ways, and help us to be dialed into You and ask You for words and ask You for guidance and timing and allow You to speak through us. And once again, we thank You for every person that is listening to us. And we pray all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Jake, do you have anything else to say about current events?
Well, currently there's a lot of events going on, Matt. And just keep your eyes open.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes open.
All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for us. And as always, we ask you to, you know, check out our Facebook page. And the podcast can be found in multiple avenues. It's in Spotify. It's in iTunes. It's in Podbean, among others. There's a Twitter feed. You can even leave us a voicemail. And I want to shout out to DC. And DC listens. And he clicked on this, leave a voicemail, left us a voicemail. And we appreciated making a new friend and a contact. And you can find us on YouTube. And we appreciate, what's the handle on the person we get comments from?
We'll get back to you.
So I think I know his first name, but I don't know his handle.
Yeah, we'll get back to you with the handle, but
or look it up on your phone real fast. So but we want to give a shout out to him, and we have an about page where you can subscribe, you can enter your email address. And I do need to change a couple of things. Like I wrote in here, please join me on my journey. But Jake and I are doing this together. There's a message, and there are some people that have responded. We certainly appreciate their responses. And then so there's the contact page, which is probably kind of like the about page. We do want you, if you have questions, if you have comments, if you have prayer requests, if there are certain topics that that you want to discuss, or if you think we're completely wrong and the biggest fools you've ever heard, you know, we do ask that you be kind. but we do ask for feedback, and we look forward to hearing back from you. And did you find who we need to give the shout out to? I don't want to shorthand him.
No, I didn't.
Oh, Jake.
I know it, but I don't know it.
Well, we want to give a special shout out to Lugnut.
Lugnut58.
And he's definitely been one of our biggest fans, and we wouldn't be where we are today without Lugnut58.
That's right. So check out his channel.
Check out his channel. If you're a gamer, yeah. You can find things about gaming there. So clearly Jake and I are big gamers.
Big gamer.
Yes. And
but he does some other things too.
And soon we will start our own Twitch campaign. So we're asking Lugnut, if you're listening out there, do you think we should Twitch? I think is what the kids
should we Twitch? I think you need to know what that is before you start saying it out loud.
Maybe. So I know I've heard about it, and my children have talked about it, and we know somebody that has a Twitch channel, and you know him too, and they play games on Twitch, and you watch it and comment and talk.
Okay.
So I don't know what game we would watch and play and talk. Maybe we should start Twitch with Pong. Ooh. Or something like that. That would be a good one, I think.
lots of discussion going on during Pong.
Pong or tanks. We could do tanks. I was pretty good at that one. So, or Tetris. I can play Tetris. You know, maybe that would be a good one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really understand that world. I'm not going to pretend. Me either. But anyway, we had to give a shout out to Lugnut 58, and we appreciate his dedication and loyalty to the show. And we appreciate you taking time to stop by and listen. And as always, we ask you to comment, like, share, subscribe. Especially share this with someone that you think might find it interesting. And drop us a line. Let us know that you're out there and that there are people that listen to us. So we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.